Good morning and welcome to Friday morning, May the 3rd in 2024 on When I Rise. So we come to the end of year B, the sixth Sunday of Easter, and on the Friday of the week, let's take a look at the gospel passage, which comes to us from this week from the Revised Common Lectionary in this week of the church's calendar year. And so we find ourselves back in the Gospel of John. Go to John 15, verses 9 through 17. So let me read that passage, provide a couple points for reflection, and then we'll spend our time praying along the theme that we find there. Thanks for making us part of your morning on When I Rise. Let's allow our souls to rise and meet God together in a time of prayer. John chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. As the Father loved me, Jesus continued, so I love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you'll remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and so that your joy may be full. This is my command, love one another in the same way that I've loved you. No one has a greater love than this to lay down your life for your friends. You are my friends if you do what I tell you. I'm not calling you servants any longer. Servants don't know what their master is doing. But I've called you friends because I've let you know everything I've heard from my Father. You didn't choose me. I chose you and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command to you. Love one another. This is the word of God for us. Man, I'm bummed that May the 4th is on a Saturday. We can't do the call and response for the Star Wars triumphant out there. May the 4th be with you and also with you. All right. Now that that's out of the way, John 15, the lectionary seems to really love this upper room discourse between Jesus and his friends. We just simply recall, like, they might be in motion as they are talking about these things. If you go to the end of John 14, Jesus says, get up, let's be going, right? And so he kind of launches into this teaching. So there's a sense maybe they're like walking through the streets, getting to the place where they need to go in order to do their next thing on their schedule and their agenda. And so I don't know about you, but like when I'm walking and talking, like don't you just get to the heart of the matter? I think there's even some research out there that if you have a hard conversation that you need to have with somebody, like it's good to get up and walk or to do an activity like, I don't know, a game of pickleball or something like that, and just simply chat between points or go on a drive with somebody, because there's something about the commotion around you that helps you to work out your feelings, process what you really need to say. And once you're hearing hard things, like it's, you know, something that is a little bit easier than just someone like sitting, you know, inches from you staring at you, and things can get, you know, pent up emotional and yada, yada, yada. So they're walking around, and I think Jesus is telling them like the very necessary things before he's apprehended and before he's crucified. And so once again, in true Johannine fashion, like this is, you know, a few things kind of mashed together. I mean, think there's like, let's say you've got like a tray for food, right? And you've got like three containers. One container is like where maybe in Jesus's words about following my commands is in one, right? And then the other is to like love one another, okay? And then another one still is to, you know, pray. And if you pray, you can pray with faith. So those are like three containers. Like some of y'all like your food separated. John likes to mix his food like a casserole, man. I feel like a lot of his content is very casserole-like. And so he's putting these things together. And maybe some could argue that these things don't belong together. But in John's Jesus's mind, like these things belong together. I mean, loving one another allows us to get close proximity with one another, and we want to be, you know, as sturdy and as dependable as we can be, right? And so we want to follow the teachings of Jesus. We find Jesus to be not only the God in whom we worship and serve, but also the God who's wise and who can instruct us. And so we want to be, you know, live our best lives. We want to help other people live their best lives. And so our inspiration for that comes from the teachings of Jesus. And as we walk with one another, and one of the like most loving things that we can do is pray for one another, right? This is something that John Wimber said. He said the most loving thing that you could do is to take a concern of a neighbor to God in prayer. I just love that, right? And so these things, even though they might seem separate, like separate sermons in a sermon series, these things are kind of mashed together. I think that if you and I watch ourselves today, like we will, like, you know, think about something that we've done and wish we didn't do that. I'll do it better next time. And why do we have that response? It's because we're aware of the teaching of Jesus. Whenever we get a text message from a friend or we hear one of their needs, like we have, you know, sympathy or compassion for them because we love them. And if they're going through a hard thing, we want them to not go through it any longer. And so what do we want? We want to help them. And, you know, the part of that help is to take it to God in prayer, right? So all these things are being mashed together. I think one of the evergreen things that we have in our religious discussion today is discipleship. I mean, one of the core issues of the American church from many people's perspective is how can we be as dedicated to Jesus as possible? I think we just have had this sense where people can turn up to church, they can know a few things about God, but never truly want to follow this God. So how do we address that? How do we do so in loving ways so that we can invite people into a deeper spiritual experience instead of just being quote unquote religious every now and again? And so I think there is this question, how do we articulate what it means to follow Jesus? What does a disciple look like? How do we invite people into it in a compelling way to where we have there's a higher percentage that they will actually take us up on the offer? And I just think this is a good place to start. Don't you want to be a loving person? You love loving people. And so don't you want to do that in return? And don't you want to make the most of your life, right? And throw off vices and things which encumber your progress again and again, these patterns of behavior that you just despise, that you continue to be owned by them. Don't you want to follow the teachings of Jesus? And don't you know that there's a higher power working in our lives around us? There's a being who cares for the world, cares for us. And isn't it a great privilege to take our cares and concerns to this God in prayer? Isn't it just this fundamental stuff about being a Christian? So all John's doing, he's saying, Jesus, as he was spending these last hours with his disciples, he wants to linger on the most important things. And some of those most important things are following his commands, loving one another, and then being bold in the place of prayer so that if you ask anything in Jesus' name, that God will do it because God is launching a revolution in this world, this comeback story of the world coming back to God, and Jesus is the very center of it. Therefore, we can partner with him in the outworking of that great, bold plan, all right? So those things in mind, let's spend some time praying to our God this morning. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you that you give us a pathway of growth and discipleship, following the way of Jesus, following the teachings of Jesus, and trusting in the long corridor of God's people who have found ways to live ever so close to you in your presence. And so we do thank you for these three big ideas this morning of loving our friends and neighbors and loving the disciples of Jesus and following the commands of our God and offering things to God in prayer, that these things mixed together create this vibrant life of us knowing that we're living within your presence. Yeah, that's our desire. Our desire is not to be known as this towering Christian figure and to be adored because of it. It's simply we have found you to be the life that is truly life. And so as we get a greater idea of what that might mean for us in our lived experience, we do pray that you help us give a great comfort and a motivation to love people around us, to know your commands and to choose them, and to offer our whole lives as a life of prayer as we commune with you. So God, help us to this end. And as we do so, we pray that we might get just a good vantage point of you putting the world back together, and we can celebrate with you this great redemption plan that's coming into being before our eyes. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.